This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. A welcome to University of Oregon Professor Stephen Shankman to Real News. Professor Shankman and I are co-directors of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute for Intercultural Dialogue and Conflict-Sensitive Reporting. And Stephen, as part of the Real News Project, we want to take advantage of your background in the classics, because when we hear about these offensive terms like fake news, or we think about misinformation and disinformation and propaganda, there's nothing new. Is that correct? When you look back at the periods you studied and study and research, it's full of not real news.
Well, I guess that's true. I'm thinking of the word propaganda, which I think must be Latin. I think it's like Carthago delenda est, something, Carthage must be destroyed. Propaganda, some BS must be proposed. And really the greatest epic in Roman history is the Aeneid of Virgil. And the great conflict about the interpretation of that poem is it propaganda for the Romans, or, I mean, is it fake news? Is it propaganda for the Romans? Or is it, depending on how you read it, sort of undermining the propaganda? And so that does it at the same time both satisfy the authorities and yet for those who know sort of, you know, undercut it? So yes, it's been around for a very long time.
So that then begs the question that we're trying different ways to, if not answer, at least think critically about. The onus always is on the news consumer, I believe, to determine what to believe. And if we look back at the classical period, how did we humans do figuring out what to believe? How did we do back then handling that onus? And what can we learn from the successes and failures again for our current era?
Well, that's a really great question, Peter. And it's a deep question. So you could say that the question really is raised and answered in the very birth of philosophy in the works of Plato, because in a sense, the way the Republic of Plato begins is with youth that are very discouraged by what they're hearing around them and what they're seeing around them. These images, you could call them false news or of what is true. And they're utterly disheartened by what they hear. And so the only, really the only remedy is to become a philosopher. That is and what Plato does is he invents really the whole conception of the human soul, and at the heart of it is the ability to tell the difference between what is true, what is opinion, and what is knowledge. And this depends upon, you know, a whole I don't know what you would call it, a whole way of understanding and even projecting what the human soul is, so that the individual person is understood to actually have that capacity to know the difference between opinion and what is true. And in order to do that, you have to become a philosopher. And there weren't many of them around. Most people just wanted to do, you know, what it took to be successful at the time. And it was a dangerous thing to do. And of course, Socrates, who became a philosopher, was murdered, you know, so by the state. So it's a dangerous thing to do. But I think the antidote certainly in Greece was become a philosopher, and then you will know the difference between appearance and reality, between fake news and what really is.
So for those listening who are not scholars of Plato and his Republic, Can you just push the conversation to today? Do we all need to become philosophers in order to accept that onus of determining what we should believe that's being pushed at us?
I think it's a great question, but I'm afraid the answer is yes, that we must at least have to try. Because Plato famously had very negative things to say about democracy. Because in his view of the human soul, what a democracy was for him, demos is the people, kratos, democracy, is the rule by the people, by the demos. And he felt that democracy was, in a sense, the insurrection. It's mob rule, because in democracy, everything is equal. So the idea was, when you become a philosopher, you develop your own soul, and there is a hierarchy in the soul. And part of that allows you to determine the difference between what is true, what is real, and what is illusion. And so his idea was you had to become a philosopher, because democracy will not work unless the people themselves aspire to be what Plato called philosopher kings or queens. Without that, democracy becomes simply mob rule. And that seems to be kind of where we're heading. I mean, democracy is an extraordinary experiment. And, I don't know what to say. I think, yes, we have to become philosophers. We have to be able to know the difference between reality and fantasy, between fact and fiction, between truth and lies. And without that, democracy is doomed. So in a sense, yes, we have to become philosophers. And part of philosophy is actually, this is another thing Plato said, was that before you even start thinking about the forms of things, what is justice? And he said, there was such a thing as justice. It's not just my opinion versus your opinion. There is such a thing. There is the idea of the good. And he said, the good is from what everything descends, in a sense. And so you have to believe in the possibility of goodness, of being good yourself, the risks it takes to pursue goodness, and that being in society is not a question of just transactional behavior. And people who say that, you know, those who serve others, they're just suckers, that sort of thing. According to Plato, that's not the case, because the good is what is really what you need to plug into. So there's that aspect of it.
That means when somebody goes to register to vote, they should have at least a day's tutorial in Plato before that voter registration application is accepted by the authorities in charge of elections?
Well, I think the reason we're having so much trouble with voter registration is that I think we've seen an enormous blossoming in this country of the call for social justice. And so what seems to be happening at the moment is the attempt actually to make voting very, very difficult for those who are seeking the form of justice, to have a just society. So I don't think that people necessarily have to read Plato. They have to check in with themselves, and they have to think, when I vote, am I voting just in my pure self-interest, or am I voting for wanting to be part of a society that is seeking more and more justice in the world? And however you need to educate yourself, but I think everyone has to, in some degree, it's not just a question of self-interest. People, I think, need to think about what is in the best interests of not only myself, but of the country as a whole. Where should we be? So I think, yeah, I think that's really important.
Well, that is what I expected to hear, and that is from you. And that is why this is such a valuable contribution to Real News. Professor Stephen Shankman, co-director with me of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute for Intercultural Dialogue and Conflict-Sensitive Reporting. Thank you so much for joining us here on Real News.
It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Real News. news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.